Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman, in for Mike Green. We'll start today's JX with a national treasure hidden in our own backyard. It's a historic national monument known as the Oregon Caves. Currently, the chateau at the site is undergoing renovations. To help us learn more about the restoration project of the chateau and the enormous value of the caves is Sue Densmore, Executive Director of the Oregon Caves. She joins us in the studio. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Also joining us by phone is Sierra Heimuel, geologist and cave specialist at the Oregon Caves. Welcome, Sierra.
Thanks for having me today.
So let's start with some basic information about the Oregon Caves. What are they, where are they, and what do you do there?
The Oregon Caves, it's a national monument. We have Crater Lake, but we also have the Oregon Caves, which is located, if you're driving the road to the coast and you see a little sign that says the Oregon Caves National Monument and Preserve, you drive 18 miles up that road and you'll find a remarkable cave, and then also a historic national historic landmark lodge, the Oregon Caves Chateau. It was developed in 1909. The chateau is 90 years old, and it's just a magical place that if people have ever been there, they never forget it. And if you haven't been there, you should go.
And what's happening to the chateau?
The chateau, we started restoration in 2018, and we were going to do life safety and accessibility. And once we got it down to the studs, you could say we found that it needs foundation and seismic help. So that is a $60, maybe $80 million effort, and the Friends are working with a group. We have a Blue Ribbon Committee that's working with the State of Oregon, the National Park Foundation, the National Park Service, and we'll actually do a capital campaign to raise that money. We've done a couple of webinars and tests, and people really do want the Oregon Cave Chateau to be back so they can stay there again and have a milkshake.
So what is the total cost expected for this project?
We don't really know. As you know, construction and restoration, it grows as the time goes on, as well as they find as we have new things that need to be done. We're hoping we can keep it in the $60 million range, but that's yet to be really decided once they continue to do the work.
And do you have a good sense yet of how long the renovations will take before it's reopened to the public?
We're hoping a couple of years. The Park Service, if we left it to them, and they said it could be 10 to 15 years, and that's why the citizens got involved. That's why we created the Blue Ribbon Committee, because we don't want to wait that long. It's already been closed since 2018, just the chateau. The caves are open and ready for tours, but the chateau itself is what's closed.
Okay, and what's sort of course, right now it's mostly closed, but what's it like when it's open? What's the experience like? What's available at the chateau?
You know, it's just magical. It's a 25-room lodge. It's got Monterey furniture like Diane Keaton has in her house, which is just gorgeous. It is, like I said, it has the best milkshakes anywhere, burgers. There are two restaurants. You can get there's the diner where we serve breakfast and lunch, and then you can have fine dining looking out over the canyon. You can have dinner. The rooms are every room is different, and it's a National Historic Landmark Lodge, which is the way we're bringing it back, bringing back that history. And I guess to today, we just want to talk about the fact that we have proven that historic preservation is great for the climate because we're reusing something that already exists. And so we're pretty excited about the idea that it is well-built, it can be restored, and right now, we do give people tours of it under construction, and you can see it's just beautiful. The wood and the design is just amazing. So that's what we're working on.
And is this restoration project going to use historical methods?
Definitely. We are a National Historic Landmark Lodge, which means that we live under SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office rules and regulations. It all has to be done very carefully, very thoughtfully, all under all of the historic preservation rules. And that is our plan.
All right. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you do as executive director of the Oregon Caves National Monument?
Well, that's what is interesting how I got here today. The Friends, we are a park partner, and they're park partners all the way across the United States. There would be one at the Great Smokies. There might be one at Gatlinburg. Every park usually has a Friends group. And our role is to bring in the public to do things like promote what's going on at the monument or at the parks. We also raise money for projects, and we have an online store so people can buy fun things. Really, our job is to just support the cultural and the natural resources at the Oregon Caves. And I have we've been in existence since 2007 because our great senator, Ron Wyden, was up at the monument, and he said, you know, we need some citizens to support this place because it's kind of remote. A lot of people don't know about it. So we created the Friends in 2007, and I had the great idea that maybe we should restore the lodge. Well, we're still working on it, but we hope that it will be done. So, and the cave tours are up and running, so don't think that they're not. They're wonderful and fabulous, and Sierra can talk a little more about that. But the cave tours, you have to be 44 inches tall. They start in March if the weather allows, and then they run May through November. And we also support things like the work that Sierra's doing. The science of the park, I think, is just amazing and fascinating.
All right. Well, Sierra, why don't you tell me about what you do at your role in the park?
Absolutely. I am a geologist by training, and I am a cave specialist. And at Oregon Caves National Monument and Preserve, we do a variety of inventory and monitoring, both above ground and within the cave system, so we can have a better idea of how vital signs of the cave may change with the changing climate. Some of the things that we monitor involve hydrology. We have the nation's only subterranean wild and scenic river. We also monitor the drip rates of different speleothems from within the cave. We take measurements on temperature and humidity, and we also have a wonderful partnership with Oregon State University, a collaboration where we are doing a paleoclimate study where we are taking samples of stalagmites, and we are dating them. And we can look at each one of the rings from within a stalagmite and read it similarly to how you would look at tree rings. We can pull out information on the isotopic concentrations of carbon and oxygen from within the stalagmites. We can actually understand how the climate was in the past. We can also look at what vegetation and other factors looked like. So we have a lot of amazing opportunities. We're partnering with Oregon State, like I mentioned, getting students involved. We also have a variety of internships each year. If anyone is interested in being a team member of the resource management at Oregon Caves, we have internships each year through the Scientists in the Parks program. We also have internships through the Student Conservation Association.
So, Sierra, these caves, they provide clues about the past, climate in the past. And is it also true that they provide evidence about what we might be looking forward to in the future with potential climate change?
Yeah, well, it's really important to collect a baseline information of what the past and what today looks like before we can start to use climate projections and climate modelers to look at what that information may look like in the future. And there's a lot of new innovative science that is up and coming within the world of cave and karst. And one of those things that Dr. Katie Wentz from Oregon State University is looking at pursuing in the future is getting a better idea or understanding of what paleo wildfires may look like. You can have heavy metals from ash in a wildfire that can seep and percolate through the ground and perhaps embed themselves within a speleothem. So that's another exciting component of some of the research that we're doing and how wildfires may look going into the future and how they looked in the past.
My guests are Sue Densmore, Executive Director of the Oregon Caves National Monument, and Sierra Heimule, a geologist and cave specialist at the Oregon Caves. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman. So tell me a little bit about this paleo wildfires. What exactly is that, and what can is this something that people can expect to experience for themselves pretty soon?
Not necessarily. Like I said, this is very new science. We're still trying to nail down the methodology for some of these processes. But the thought is that paleo wildfires would have produced certain heavy metals that reside within the ash. And then whenever you have, you know, a rainstorm or any type of precipitation event, some of those heavy metals may percolate down through the subsoil and into the bedrock and precipitate as a speleothem with heavy metal concentrations. So it's using isotopic signatures and also perhaps X-ray machinery to identify some of these layers in the past. But like I said, it's very new, and there's still a lot of footwork that needs to be done before this can be a method that perhaps may be able to be used around the entire Pacific Northwest.
So this all sounds really interesting. Is there education programs at the caves to teach people about these kinds of things?
Yeah, we do have education programs. Feel free to contact us through our webpage at Oregon Caves National Monument and Preserve. We host a variety of outreach programs for kids in elementary school all the way through college and graduate programs. So we're always happy to host students and engage them to learn more about the many different facets of cave and karst science. You know, we have involvement with bats. We have many endemic species at the cave, invertebrates. So there's a lot of different angles that students come to the caves to learn about.
Also, I think fourth graders, don't we have an opportunity? A lot of school tours come to the Oregon Caves. And then, I don't know if this is the time to talk about, on January 28th, SOCAN, Southern Oregon Climate Action Now, has invited Katie and myself to speak at their meeting at the Talent Library. It starts at 6 o'clock in the evening, SOCAN, and we would encourage you to come and listen and learn more there. That's what kind of prompted this discussion today, is the fact that we're bringing together climate change in historic preservation as well as what's going on in the cave. And all of those things will be discussed in greater length that evening.
All right, so people who are interested can go there. What if somebody's interested in applying for one of the internships? What are the qualifications? What can they expect from the application process? And what does it actually look like to do that internship?
Well, there are many different job opportunities at Oregon Caves, but I specifically work in resource management, where a bachelor's degree in any of the earth science is required for these internships. And they happen on a yearly basis. There are anywhere between 3 to 5 positions that are available. And since we are a small park, we do end up being very comprehensive in the sense that you will not only work with bats, but you will also be doing hydrology. You will also be learning about invasive weed management. And I think the best way to stay on top of those opportunities are to follow us on social media and to regularly check the webpage. These internships occur in the summertime, but the applications go live in the winter and the spring. So for 2025, most of those positions have already been filled. But if you're interested in working at Oregon Caves within the Resource Management Department in the future, just keep your eyes peeled as soon as summer ends and keep a lookout for those job opportunities and announcements.
And does that just represent prehistoric artifacts? I guess I'm thinking of this sort of from an archaeological perspective. Are there any sort of archaeological resources at these caves?
There are certainly cultural resources. We do not have any observations of prehistoric cultural resources. Certainly the indigenous communities that lived in the area knew of the cave system and we're definitely in the area. However, we don't have an archaeological department like Crater Lake would have. We do have archaeological surveys, but they are for historic artifacts. So we find a lot of artifacts from the early 1900s, a lot of cans and stuff like that. But that's not necessarily part of the resource management internship. Kind of tangential and more involved with things like the historic chateau and the historic chalet.
All right. Well, if somebody wants to plan a visit to the cave, what's the best time of year to plan a visit? And maybe is there anything else they should know about coming to visit?
Probably go to recreation.gov, and that's where the cave tours, it used to be that you had to arrive at the cave to get a tour, but now you can make a reservation in advance. Your family's coming to town, you can make a plan. You can also go to the Illinois Valley Visitor Center, which is on the road. If you're driving through Cave Junction, there's a visitor center just off the road. You can buy your tickets there. Again, they start for sure May, I think, and they definitely go through November. They do try to open spring vacation, and some years we've had too much snow, but we're hoping we can open the weekends of spring vacation. But like Sierra said, go to the website. You can also check the Friends. Our website is www.friendsocac.org, and we also have the information on the restoration of the chateau, and we can also give you information on the tours.
All right, well, we'll add that information to our website. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you, Sue, very much for visiting us in the studio today.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
And thank you for Sierra to joining us by phone.
Yes, thank you so much. It was great to chat about Oregon Caves.
My guests were Sue Densmore, Executive Director of the Oregon Caves, and Sierra Heimuehl, Geologist and Cave Specialist at the Oregon Caves. I'm Charlie Zimmerman. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR.